This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. A recent jobs forecast listed the jobs that will be in demand leading to 2030. Joining me to speak about this study and how people will need to adapt is the Vice President, Global Media and Communities at Pearson, Laura Howe. Thanks for joining me, Laura.
Thank you.
Could you tell me, why did Pearson decide to do this type of study?
This study is very important to us because Pearson is the world's largest education company. And so it's very important that we understand what the jobs of the future look like, what the job market looks like, so that as a company, we can make sure we're adjusting and putting out the best education products that we can for students, and making sure that in the conversations we have with educators every day, whether it's on the K-12 side, whether it's in our higher ed conversations, when we talk to professors and faculty and university administrators, that we're helping all of them understand what the future of work looks like, so that together we can all really make sure that we're educating people the right way and teaching them the skills they're actually going to need for the jobs of the future.
For the study itself, I saw that it was done in two parts. They had experts who helped with the insight of like where jobs are going in careers. How did you get the panel of experts together? Like, what was the criteria for that?
Yeah, you know, the panel of experts, we actually held a couple of different sessions with these experts, and they're experts who are folks from across labor, across economy. They're experts in those areas. Some of them were academics. Some of them were, you know, business leaders and people who are business owners. And so people who are involved in things like human resources, folks who are really around jobs and labor and understand sort of what jobs look like now, but also can forecast and look out a little bit in the future to really understand what those jobs should look like and what we think they're going to look like in the future. One of the really interesting things is as we brought this, you know, these groups of people together and we did those groups both in the U.S. and the U.K., We had them look at a number of different trends that were happening. So not just automation and technology, but a number of other different factors, everything from globalization, urbanization, the impact of demographic change, the impact of environmental changes. They applied some of those to the work that they were doing. And then once they came out with those recommendations, one of the other things that we did is we actually fed all of that into sort of a machine learning algorithm that could help process all of the information. And so it was very much forecasting and prediction that's been done by both humans, but also through machine and through algorithms, too.
That's actually really cool. I mean, to think that, you know, it was a group of people and then throwing it into a machine and you just spit out all this information. But from the findings, what did you guys find that the careers were going to go, like, in what area?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that's interesting about the findings is I think, you know, we've all seen these headlines over the last couple of years about, you know, how automation and driverless cars and robots are going to be taking all of our jobs. And they're kind of scary headlines, frankly. And I think what we found from the research is that the future of work is actually a lot brighter than what any of us really believe and what any of us really think it is for at this point. And so we found a couple of things. So first of all, just very top line, we found that 1 in 5 people are in jobs that will probably decline in demand. We found that 1 in 10 people are actually in jobs that will likely have a very high propensity to increase in demand. And that left sort of everybody else, 7 in 10 people, who were in jobs where there's a little more uncertainty. And so it's likely that those jobs will probably be around, but the skills you're going to need to be successful in those jobs are going to change a little bit. And as we looked across the kinds of jobs that we think will be very robust and in high demand in the future, we found a couple of things. So we found education, teachers. That's a huge industry moving forward. We also in the U.S. found some interesting ones like animal care workers, lawyers, the legal profession. We found things like personal appearance workers, so hairdressers, barbers, people who do nails, entertainers, performers, sports and leisure employees. Those were big. One of the ones we found, and this might surprise you a little bit, is actually librarians. And librarians, if you think about it, are a great example of how a job might change for the future. So we think of a librarian now as somebody who goes and helps us get books out of a physical library or deals with physical books. But in the future, you could easily see librarians being people who help all of us manage information, help us curate digital content, help us really sort of look at data analytics. And you could see a librarian as somebody who is maybe an archivist or a curator of digital content for a big university or a company. So the same kind of job, just done in a little bit of a different way.
What was really cool is that you guys also did the skill set. And real fast, there was a couple of them that I understand the words, but I couldn't put them together. The fluency sure. of ideas. What does that mean?
Yeah, so fluency of ideas is one of those things that fits into what we would call sort of cognitive and also interpersonal skills. So it's basically the ability to ideate and come up with a lot of really original creative ideas. And those are just the kind of skills that people will need to couple with technical knowledge and subject matter expertise in their career area. So the ability to be original, show creativity, have a fluency of ideas, understand social perceptiveness and be able to understand, you know, how to interact with people. Those kinds of cognitive and interpersonal skills coupled with technical skills will really be what will be in demand for the jobs of the future.
Okay, so that's what I kind of had an idea that the fluency of ideas was, but this is where I got confused at. For the USA, we also had originality. So I was like, if you have originality and fluency of ideas, isn't that just like kind of the same?
Well, you know, I think they're different a little bit, but I think it all goes back to that idea that what we're really looking to help people do is really cultivate the soft skills, so the interpersonal skills, but also things like the personal resiliency, the ability to learn, and the ability to, you know, become sort of a learner throughout your lifetime. And those are really the skills that I think people don't think about a lot, and we don't naturally teach people in school. Everybody focuses on you know, subject matter expertise and technical information and technical skills and abilities related to a career field. But one of the things we really need to couple with that is helping people be creative and original and, you know, embrace learning. And also be able to have like personal resiliency, to be able to navigate a changing job environment. So all of those things are important. And, you know, while the words may sound a little bit similar, the concept behind them and the concept behind embracing softer skills and embracing interpersonal skills is the way we need to work in the future, I think really is a key part of what we found here.
Now, from experience, some of the things you kind of learn from just working, like learning strategies, instructing people, coordination, active learning. But when it comes to the other stuff, like the social skill aspect, I mean, unless you, well, we should all be going out and being social, but how do you learn this in like a class or a course? Is that something that we should be looking to do in the future?
Well, I think that's part of it. But, you know, if you really think about the skills that we've laid out here as being important, a lot of these are just great life skills. And, yes, they're things that we probably should be adding to classroom curriculum in addition to some of the other sort of subject matter expertise that we're teaching people. But, you know, if you think about what you do with your kids and even what you do with your colleagues at work, that ability to help people understand good social interaction and social perceptiveness is really important. And if you look at certain career fields, so for instance, one of the career fields that we think is probably going to be pretty robust in the future is construction. So that seems pretty obvious. You know, we have a growing population and people are looking for more housing. But there's some skills that are associated with that are going to be a little bit different. So those kinds of jobs are also going to need a heavy focus on customer service, personal interaction, They're likely to be more high touch with customers than they are, ever have been before. You're going to find people, like in the construction field, running small businesses, being more entrepreneurial. And so the ability to work with others, understand social perceptiveness, work as a team is going to be important. And I think we all learn that, and we should all be teaching that from a young age, both in very formal ways, but also in informal ways as well.
Another interesting thing is how the UK portion of the skills is so different from the US.
Yeah.
They have way more cognitive processes than the US does. Why is that?
Yeah, so it is a little bit interesting, isn't it? And I think some of it has to do with the fact that a lot of the jobs that we forecast in the UK are jobs that may primarily be in the public sector or driven in the public sector. So one of the things we found very heavily in the UK is a real emphasis on healthcare jobs. So what you see there is a country that, has a healthcare system that is, very structured and largely government dependent. The jobs that you see in the U.S. That we forecast are a little bit more entrepreneurial in nature, and I think that you see that reflected in the kinds of skills that are associated with those jobs. So in the U.K., for instance, some of the cognitive skills will help you navigate process and systems and more formal and sort of rigid job systems than what we have in the U.S., where the jobs are forecasted to be a little bit more entrepreneurial in nature and focusing a little bit more on interpersonal skills. And so there's a little bit of a difference there, and it's an interesting one to sort of look at based upon the jobs we saw in the U.K. that would flourish and versus the jobs in the U.S. that we believe will flourish.
Yeah, their jobs, the occupation, I thought were a lot cooler than ours, like artistic, literary, and media occupations. Like, that's really cool. But what does that mean? Like, is that the same as our entertainers and performers?
Yeah, and some of it is a little bit the same. And you sort of have to understand, we pulled some of the data that we use to base the skills on from the different labor classifications in the U.S. and in the U.K., and frankly, some of their government labor classifications are just labeled differently, but they are the same as what we have here. So if you look at things like artistic, literary, and media occupations, that's very close to what you would, see on our list in the U.S. as things like librarians, curators, and archivists. Because again, it's all people who are working with media, with information, and to some degree, sort of data and content.
Okay, so going back to the findings, you talked about that you guys forecast that only 1 in 10 workers will be in an occupation that's likely to grow. What's that? The occupation?
Yeah, so the occupations that we feel are likely to grow are really spread across a number of different categories. So, you look at things like education. So we forecast, that there's going to be a rise in not only the teaching profession, but also in fields that are sort of associated with that. So training and instructing, those sorts of fields. We also, look at, things like the legal profession. Engineers we expect to rise. So that 10% is really spread across a number of very, very broad categories.
So what do you think is the best way for people to prepare for these types of jobs?
Yeah, so, if I had advice for people, I would say this. You really have to sort of see your life and your career as an exercise in lifelong learning. So I think it's important to be honest with young people about this too, because that career that we might begin to focus on in the latter part of high school, in college, that thing that we choose to get a degree in is probably not going to be the specific career that we're going to be engaged in for the rest of our lives. And so if you think about it, we used to have some very sort of solid phases of life. You go to school, you go to work, and then you retire. And those were sort of the phases of life. And those are kind of becoming much more fluid now. So people have to understand how to navigate that. And the best way to do that is to really commit to lifelong learning. So, once your formal schooling is over, being open to, advanced degrees, certification programs, informal learning, going online and engaging in some of the free online learning that's out there. going back and getting retrained in certain things from your employer when you're involved in your career. So I think that ability to adapt and that ability to really accept and be open to lifelong learning and knowing that job that you really chose in your 20s is probably not going to be the one that you end your career with. And just understanding that and really, becoming committed to the mental curiosity and the flexibility that comes with lifelong learning.
For those that have already gotten their degrees, what would you say to them? Like, should they do continue education? Should they retrain themselves? Or should they just kind of shift their career to something else? Like if they have already gotten a bachelor's degree?
Well, I think the when you already, sort of have your degree, I think you should look for the opportunities to understand sort of, first of all, where your career field is headed, but also being open to different kinds of experiences. So, for instance, you can go back to school. You don't necessarily have to get a full-fledged degree, but a lot of colleges and universities offer continuing education programs. So you can go back and you can take a handful of courses and get a certificate in some field of study that might complement your degree. A lot of community colleges have badging programs where you can take a couple of small classes, maybe in person, maybe online, and you get a qualification or what we call a badge that says you now are an expert in project management. So there's sort of, little micro chunks of education that you can take throughout your life. Some are free. Some, you pay for. I think looking at those opportunities through your employer, and what they offer. But I don't think you have to go back and completely retrain yourself or get a new degree. What you can do is you can keep building on the education that you have just keep sort of adding those building blocks onto your education as you go along.
For the people listening, where can they find more about this study in Pearson?
Yeah, so if you want to see more about the study and learn more about the jobs of the future, you can definitely go to futureskills.pearson.com. You'll be able to see the research there. You'll be able to see the lists of jobs that are going to be on the rise. And there's also some great information on the site about how those jobs might change a little bit in the future. So you can think about, how your job might be a little bit different as we move forward.
Well, thanks so much, Laura, for coming on. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.